Welcome to the Campfire Committee, Outside and Fireside, a podcast to explore and discover the joy of camping and being in the great outdoors.
I'm Allison Logan.
And I'm Steph Pavan. We're your hosts.
This season, we're stepping up our camping game and going beyond the basics. Whether you're an expert camper or you're new to all of this, we're creating a camping community to share the many lessons and stories, tips and tricks, and all the fun that comes with getting outside and fireside.
We're bringing you into the world of camping and inviting you to join the Campfire Committee community. Remember to download, subscribe, and follow us on social at the Campfire Committee so you don't miss an episode or any new fun bits.
This podcast is about camping, and though we camp primarily in Ontario, we would like to recognize the Indigenous past, present, and future with a land acknowledgement for Toronto, where we live and make this podcast.
We recognize that we are on the traditional territory of many nations, including the Mississaugas of the Credit, the Anishinaabeg, the Chippewa, the Haudenosaunee, and the Wendat peoples, and this city is now home to many diverse First Nations, Inuit, and Métis people.
We also acknowledge that Toronto is covered by Treaty 13, signed by the Mississaugas of the Credit, and the Williams Treaty, signed with multiple Mississaugas and Chippewa bands.
We always aim to grow our understanding of and respect for the diverse First Nations, Inuit, and Métis people in Toronto, Ontario, and Canada. And we seek to forge better relationships and celebrate this land with those whom have historically called this place their home as we visit these places to camp. And we encourage our listeners to do the same.
Now, let's light this campfire.
Sound of a campground full of pets. Yes, we are dedicating an entire episode to the furry, feathered, or scaly friends that we and you may bring camping. Our domesticated pets come and venture into the wild with us often, but camping with pets comes with its own set of considerations.
When you think of camping with pets, many people go right to dogs. But there are plenty of campers who bring their cats as well.
We've mentioned our camping pets before, but let's do a little reintroduction for these little members of our campfire committee.
Bear is our 14 and a half year old Maine Coon cat who absolutely loves the outdoors, camping and otherwise. It is one of his life goals to get outside whenever the opportunity presents itself. He is definitely a little door dasher, that one. Ryan has had Bear since he was a little kitten, and he's been joining our camping adventures for the past 4 summers now.
He can cause quite the stir when we go for walks and hikes with him on a leash.
Yep. He and Macy have both been featured on our Instagram, and Bear has his own account, too, at Bear the Adventure Kitten. I'm not just a cat camper, though. I also grew up camping with my family and our family dogs, which makes me a well-trained cat and dog camper.
I see what you did there. Macy is my mini, mini golden doodle. She's about 2.5 at the time of this recording and has been camping since she was 8 months old.
Wasn't her first camping trip a backcountry one?
It sure was. And she was perfectly content laying in the sun on one of the packs in her life jacket as we paddled. She also loves outdoors, around the campsite, hiking, hitching rides on the paddleboard, and she's a campsite guard dog, and a trail guard dog, and a chair guard dog.
She definitely makes her presence known. And she talks a lot. Oh, yeah, a lot.
A lot, a lot. As you mentioned, Macy has an Instagram, too, at the marvelous Miss Macy, and she's shown up on our Instagram a lot, and being the attention-grabbing little rascal she is bound to show up more. I've also brought my family's dog, Sophie, a medium mini golden doodle, out a couple times over the years. She's getting older, and so she doesn't come camping anymore. All that said, I've been purely a dog camper, or a purebred dog camper.
Dogs are the norm camping. Cats are making their way into that territory, but I've definitely heard of and seen people bring other pets. For example, we've heard of campers in trailers or RVs bringing their birds or other caged pets. The bird cages sometimes even make an appearance outside on the campsite, and their songs are distinctly non-native.
One of the wildest animal encounters I had camping was on a hike when we happened upon a couple hanging out on some chairs with their dog and, get this, their hawk.
Sorry, what, a hawk? Like, no. How big was it?
The hawk was a she. Her name was Grace, and she was absolutely massive. Some big hawk. Check out our social media for a throwback to this wild encounter.
That's so strange. A pet hawk out camping with its humans sounds like something out of the Upside Down. I wonder what Grace thought of these circumstances.
I know. So ironic to run into a pet hawk on a hike.
I wonder where she stayed.
I think I remember the answer to that question. Her perch was in the trailer or RV or something like that.
Anyways, well, I'd say that leads us right into some things you need to think about for your pet when you're camping. Here's how we're going to break things down this episode. First, we're going to talk about how your pet will travel and actually get to the campground. Next, we're going to talk about where they're going to sleep. Then we're going to talk about keeping your pet safe and contained on the campsite, their food when they're camping, and then finally we'll wrap up by talking about some of the other stuff to think about.
Overall, we want to make sure you and your pet enjoy the experience of camping, all the while keeping safe and having fun. Before we get started, I think we should place a little disclaimer here for this entire topic. You need to be very aware and mindful of your pet and their disposition before you even try to take them camping.
As Beta Dog Training on TikTok so perfectly sums it up, if your dog is an anxious dog or a behavior case who really strives on structure, you're disrupting their entire routine. They don't know how long you're gone. You're moving. You're taking all their stuff and you're like, hey, we're moving to a place and there's new people and new rules and new boundaries, and maybe we're going to move a bunch of times in there. And I'm sure there's elements that they're going to enjoy. You'll go on a hike or a swim. But is that one or two elements worth the stress that the entire camping experience is going to bring up and the risk that that stress brings, because stressed dogs make bad choices? So camping is not a necessary experience if your dog is not going to enjoy it.
Absolutely. And that is also true of your cat or your hawk or your potbelly pig or your ferret or whatever pet you try to bring.
Exactly. When we decided to take Bear camping for the first time, part of that initial plan was that Ryan, Bear, and I were heading up on a Friday. And if Bear was stressed and it was not good for him, Ryan was heading right back down on Saturday. That was always part of the plan. It actually surprised me that they didn't have to leave at all. Bear absolutely took to camping, and it was actually us humans who had to figure out a routine around it all.
If your animal is one that thrives on structure, you really do need to weigh the pros and cons of taking them with you and decide what is best for your animal, not for you, but for your pet.
I would say anyone who is thinking about trying it out with their cat, especially if you're not in an RV or a trailer, you really need to have a cat who is already comfortable and wants to be outside. Ryan did harness and leash training with Bear very early on, and he's been confident in using them since he was a kitten. If you have a cat who is a door dasher and really wants to be outside, I recommend doing leash and harness training first. Once they're happy and comfortable with that, then you can consider taking it up a level and doing a lengthy day hike or an overnight camping trip.
Taking out Macy when she was just a pup was part of building her confidence and comfort in being away from home and starting to build a camping routine for her when she was young. Again, that very first trip, even though it was backcountry, I did have to be prepared for anything. We didn't have an exit strategy per se, but we always could have paddled back or called a water taxi if things hadn't worked out.
I also think it was ideal that our backcountry besties who were with us on that trip and their expert camping dog Maggie was there to show Macy the ropes and the amount of fun to be had on our small island campsite where she could be running around and chasing all those red squirrels.
Oh, that's true. And having friends who regularly camp, particularly backcountry camp, with their dog, one of whom just happens to be a vet, really increased my confidence, and they were able to show me the ropes a bit more too.
Yeah, that would definitely increase the comfort level on that first trip. So now that we've made the most important point, which is to know your animal and weigh the risks before you even decide to bring them camping, let's move along to how they will travel. Just like us humans, our pets have to get to the place where we're going to be camping.
Small animals like our current camping companions can travel in small crates.
Bear travels in a soft-sided crate that is used as a backpack as well. It's pretty similar to a standard hard-sided crate in terms of its size and shape. It opens up from either end and is made from a good strong mesh screening on the doors that he can't tear through. It also includes some clips to ensure that those zippers stay all closed up and he can't sneak away out in the middle of the night by getting out of his crate.
Yeah, I can imagine that he would be chasing raccoons and tearing his way through the tent to get out there otherwise.
Oh, absolutely. And he knows his crate is his safe place in the tent. But it also keeps him secure when we need to as well, like when we're getting up to the campground. When we pack up the car, his crate is in the back between Ryan and I, where I can see him in the rearview mirror. He curls up and sleeps, or he watches out the window quietly for the entire drive. After a few summers, he now knows that getting into the crate in the car with all of the camping gear means that we're heading out into the woods.
Macy will travel in something similar, either in the back or on the front passenger seat. It's actually her little Macy motorhome. But she's not likely to go in there at any other time.
You know.
Like, never. I use it as a place to pack an extra towel or two and a blanket for her that I remove when we arrive. Sophie, who is almost 3 times her size, gets a seat to herself, though a middle seat will do. How did your family dog, Coda, travel? She was much larger than Sophie.
Yeah. Coda, our family's since-passed Black Lab and German Shepherd mix, was definitely bigger than Soph. Because all of us kids were older when we got Coda, there really was never an attempt to take all 5 family members, the 85-pound dog, and the tent trailer all together with one vehicle. So in terms of space, she really always had plenty to choose from when she was going camping. Typically, she would get the entire back seat of the car to herself. The trunk space would be full of gear, and then she was comfy. When we did do some camping all together as a family, including Coda while we were in university, it did require 2 cars. But really, that would have been needed for 5 adults and all of their gear anyways.
Mm-hmm. I've seen a Great Dane in the trunk of a car on their bed. The owners opened up the hatch and there it was, the giant dog. My immediate thought was, where's all your stuff? It was at a gas station, so I can't say that, like me, these guys were going camping. They could have been heading to a cottage or just even out for a drive. But it was a sight to see. You almost need a trailer for a dog that size. Though I bet that dog would disagree.
The size of your pet and the amount of space that they and their gear will require is definitely something to think about when it comes to packing for camping. That precious space is going to be lessened in your vehicle by your lovable pet.
You may have to bring less of the extra goodies or camping luxuries if you don't have a trailer or RV where those things can be stored during travel. Or fewer humans in your car.
If you're doing backcountry, traveling to the drop-off point is only half the battle. Your pet might be in for the same hiking trip you've planned, or they might be sitting on top or in between gear in the canoe, kayak, or even on your stand-up paddleboard.
Just going to jump in here and say if you're waterbound, bring a life jacket and put it on your dog.
Or your cat, though I'm not sure how well cats would do in the backcountry because that is something that Ryan and I are not willing to try out with Bear.
Didn't you guys try putting a life jacket on Bear at 6 Mile when you were out canoeing?
Oh yeah, we sure did. And he was so uncomfortable and basically flailing himself all around in the canoe that we were actually more scared of him falling out and into the water with the life jacket on than we were when it was off. I mean, he doesn't like the water to start with, and then canoeing was just not an activity he enjoyed at all. So we just don't go on the water with him anymore anyways.
And Miss Macy inherited his life jacket.
Very true. Lots of dogs are really good swimmers, but safety always comes first. Your pup could jump out after a bird or trying to catch the moving paddles. If they jump out and start swimming, it may take you a while to reroute into the direction that they're going.
Your 8-month-old, 15-pound pup could slip overboard and get stuck head down with her back legs over the side of the canoe.
Yes, I remember this. Was Macy going after a drink or a lily pad when that happened? It was pretty funny to just see her head go over the edge of the canoe. I had a front row seat because I was in the back of the canoe. But because she had her life jacket on, you were able to scoop her right up and out of the water.
As funny as it was also scary in the moment. But it would have been much worse if she didn't have on her PFD. So I can laugh about it now.
Well, and now she jumps right off of your paddleboard and goes for a swim all on her own for the fun of it.
And if she does that when she shouldn't, I can grab her by the handle of her life jacket. Or with the end of my paddle if she decides to swim off and I need some extra reach. I swing her back over like the arm of a crane and get her back where she belongs. Anywho, for car camping or trailer camping, as we've mentioned, the travel method may double as the sleeping space, like Bear using his crate as his bed.
Yep, he knows that that's where he sleeps, and he often puts himself to bed in there before we humans have even decided it's time to go to sleep. We come in and just undo his leash from the harness, zip him up, and clip him in. I do want to reiterate the importance of ensuring he is secure in there at night.
Larger pets, or those who don't do crates or cages, may have a bed or a sleeping pad or even a cot to sleep on at night.
Coda also had a soft-sided crate. Just one that was the size for an 85-pound gal and not one that also doubled as a backpack like the one we have for our cat. She would sleep in her crate on the folded-down table in the tent trailer. Again, she would have loved to make a great escape into the night after a raccoon if she were given the chance. So a crate where she can be enclosed was key.
Yeah, Macy doesn't quite have the same issue. She puts herself in bed in the tent when I'm up too late and curls into my sleeping bag with me when I get there. She's not going anywhere during the night. She will yell at something by barking. But she prefers being cozy and staying in the warmth of the tent to making attempts at chasing something on the outside of the tent.
She can be a pretty good alarm clock in the morning, though.
True. If she's ready to start the day, she is not chill about it.
No. Both of them can be pretty sassy when they want to be. I mean, let's be real. Both of our pets get their own camping chairs on the campsite because they feel so entitled to them.
First car camping trip I brought Macy on, I did not bring her a chair. I learned pretty quickly if I did not bring her a chair, it meant that I did not have a place to sit. Or that my chair was very dirty and very wet.
Yeah, no, not what you're signing up for. Thank you.
Mm-mm.
So bringing an extra old camp chair makes for a great doggy or kitty day bed. We have one that neither Ryan nor I use for our camp chairs, but we do bring it along for Bear. When he isn't enjoying watching the amazing cat TV of the forest or sleeping in the tent, he is usually enjoying the chair, especially around the campfire at night when he's up and wants to be with the crowd.
But away from Macy.
Oh, yeah. And we definitely recommend for camping with a pet to have your tent or your trailer set up in a shady spot, or to have a tarp over top for some sunblock or additional shade to keep it from becoming too hot on a sunny day. Bear likes to have the freedom to come and go from the tent as he pleases, so we actually leave the bottom unzipped a bit for him. And he'll sleep all over the tent. He'll be in the back corner where he's hidden away, in his crate, his bed, or on one of our beds in the coziness of all the sleeping bags and blankets.
Besides a travel crate or carrier and their bed, you've also got to think about how your pet will be contained on your site. Just like us, our pets are visitors. Unless an area is designated otherwise, such as a pet exercise area or beach, pets must always be on a leash. This is true at Ontario provincial parks and most other campgrounds. And a leash is usually defined as 6 feet or 2 meters. A longer lead can sometimes not be considered leashed.
Hmm. If you've got a trailer or a tent trailer, and actually I guess you could do this from your tent or your dining shelter too, but an idea is to set up a fenced-in area, basically a little pen. Most people I've seen do it underneath their awning of their trailer, right out the door. That way their dog can go in and out of the trailer or RV without a leash as they please.
Not sure that would work for a cat.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't at all. A cat would just jump out. There are outdoor enclosures that you can get for your cats, though. I'll be honest, I don't know much about them, but I've definitely seen them online for sale, and they could have some potential, I'm sure.
For that leash on your site, I guess the 6-foot rule is a little more lax or doesn't apply, but most pets are attached to a very long lead that's on a stake, looped onto a tree or the bottom of a picnic table, anywhere it's secure. A couple of summers ago, we saw a couple of dogs that were moving all over a campsite, and they weren't tearing everything down with them.
Hmm.
Their owners had put a rope across the site and attached 2 shorter leads to this rope on carabiners.
Clever.
I've since used this technique for Macy, and you do have to be careful how long that lead is when your pet's at the end of the main line, like making sure that they won't reach the road.
Hmm.
And since Macy is very little, she still manages to get super tangled around everything.
For Bear, we use a stake that you can put into the ground much like you would for a dog. And then we attach enough length of a lead for him that he's able to comfortably wander the entire campsite, including in and out of the entire tent. We make sure to put a little light on that stake when we put it in the ground so that we can turn it on at night and not trip over it.
Yep. One thing to be careful of with your pets and their gear is trip hazards.
Oh, yes.
Their presence can create a lot of them. Their leashes get tangled. You can get tangled and trip if you're not careful. You'll probably step in a water bowl or knock over some treats. You get the idea.
Another thing with keeping your animal safe when you're camping and less likely to get lost is making sure you have their collar or harness on them. Well, he doesn't normally wear it at the house when we're home. Bear never has his harness taken off while we're camping. We do disconnect him from the leash when he's in his bed at night and secured in the crate, but that harness stays on him. He has an Apple tag on it that both Ryan and I can access if the worst does happen and he gets off his leash and takes off after something into the woods.
Making sure that your pet has a collar or harness with their identification is critical in case they do end up taking off somehow. There are lots of exciting things around to sniff and chase, and they aren't at home, so they likely won't know their way around like they do in familiar places.
Keeping your animal contained and safe on your campsite is important for them. It's also important to maintain as much routine and structure as possible, for the sake of your pet and for the people around you camping as well, their safety and their sanity. You need to have the training in place that you can ensure your pet knows how to respond to you on command.
Yep, and this does take practice. Mm-hmm. So having treats handy that you can use as rewards on site to reinforce those pieces of training is important too. And we want to reiterate, your pet should always be on a leash or contained unless it is an off-leash zone designated in the campground. Let's pause here and hear from Camper Sue, who's camped with many pets over the years.
Hi there, it's Camper Sue. Today we're talking about camping with pets. I love pets. I've been a dog owner for more than 30 years, but I also have a few pet peeves about camping with pets, and it has so much more to do with the owners than with the pets. Please keep your pet leashed. It is for their safety and the safety of others, human and animal. It's pretty simple. Your dog may have excellent recall at home, but this is not home. There are so many different smells and sounds and people that they may not behave as you would expect. So please keep them leashed. A barking dog is annoying. A barking dog left unattended on a campsite has an irresponsible owner. Don't be that person. Also, enjoy the pet beach with your pet. But again, don't be that person who thinks it's okay to take your pet to the people beach. It's not fair to everyone who wants to enjoy the beach and not have a barking dog, who is probably excited because their people are in the water. Sometimes someone has to stay back at the campsite with your pet. That's all part of responsible ownership. Make sure that you put together a comprehensive first aid kit. Google can help out with what you should have. And if you regularly are backcountry camping, consider taking a pet first aid course. Hiking is a great activity when you have your pet with you, but take care on particularly rocky or slippery areas. Once at Grundy Lake, while hiking on the Gut Lake Trail, our friend's dog slipped off the rocks and into the lake. It took three of us to be able to pull her up onto the rocks and back to shore. And don't forget to keep them hydrated on hot days, just like you need to keep yourself hydrated. If water sports are part of your camping activities, take a moment to consider how your pet may react to going on the water with you. Coda, our lab German Shepherd, loved to go in the canoe for short day trips. She would pay no attention out on the lake, but on a stream, she was very curious, to the point of rocking the boat so that we had to keep a hold of her or she would have gone swimming. So you have to just bear in mind the activity that you're going to be doing. All in all, pets are fabulous to have out there and everybody should be encouraged to take them, but responsible ownership is key.
Thanks, Camper Sue. Okay, back to our list of things to think about when camping with your pet. Next up is food. I highly recommend you pack their favorite food and then some. A pet that typically spends most of their day indoors is going to be, at minimum, really stimulated, most likely getting a lot more physical exercise and less sleep than usual, so you want to make sure that they're very well fed.
We make sure to bring lots of treats for Bear, and we actually don't really care if he gets more of them than usual. It's important to make sure that he's continuing to eat and drink. Sometimes the change in environment can impact your pet's eating. For example, Bear prefers to drink from the bathroom water tap at home. But when he's outside in our backyard, he has a Tupperware that he uses. We do make sure to bring that Tupperware and keep it filled with fresh water. But we also bring some special cat treats with jar cups of tuna and water that he really loves and are special for camping. We continue to replenish those with water while he eats and drinks from them so that he's getting solid water intake while we're camping, even if it's not in his typical way.
Same goes with Mace for keeping things special. There may be treats in her food or some extra scraps on top of her dinner, especially if we're going to go out for a big hike and she hasn't eaten, though she's getting a lot better at that. Having some of those special high-reward treats available is always important, not for just ensuring that your pet is getting solid calories, but again, for those behavioral training reminders that may need to happen due to a change in environment and structure.
Now, when it comes to the pet food, it is just as important to remember to put it away like you do the human food on your campsite to keep it safe from raccoons and other little animal friends.
Or big ones like bears.
Exactly. It can be tempting or even just something you forget about and leave the food out like you might at home and let your pet graze as they please. When you leave your site or at night before you go to bed, you do need to make sure to put the pet's food away and that it's all safely stored.
Whether that's in your vehicle for car camping or along with your food in the food barrel, hanging in the tree away from your site if you're backcountry.
Or you can also get a bear box at many campgrounds if you don't have the storage ability in your vehicle or if you just like an additional spot where you can keep these kinds of things.
Remember when Buddy's food container was taken at night?
Oh, I sure do. Buddy is my best friend's pup. He's a little Boston Terrier. He's well-trained, but incredibly energetic, that little rascal.
Oh, yeah, definitely energetic. Boston trait.
Yep. That lack of chill does not make him Bear's cup of tea at all. But that's another story altogether.
Yeah. Anyways, on our annual Grundy trip, Buddy's entire plastic food bin with a clasp lid was accidentally left out on the campsite overnight.
When we woke up in the morning, the container was nowhere to be found. Some critters had picked it up and taken it away.
Far away, too, because we looked quite a ways out into the woods around the campsite.
So, besides not having dog food on the site now, my friend wasn't actually able to get his specific dog food up where we were or in any of the nearby towns.
And any pet owner knows what a change of food can do to their pet.
Ugh. Moral of that story, definitely make sure that just like with everything else in keeping your campsite clean, especially at night or when you leave it, it includes putting away the pet food.
Along with food is a water bowl or dish, one that you'll regularly fill to ensure your pet drinks. Also, having one that you can bring along with you when you leave your site for a hike or go to the beach. The dog beach. I have a water bottle for Macy with an end that flips out into a water bowl for her to drink from.
And of course, the food your pet eats is going to have to come out at some point.
Lovely, but you're right. Making sure that you have your poop bags for your pet and picking up after them is very important.
That also includes making sure that you have some for your cat when you go on a walk or a hike too and picking up after them. That's not something all cat owners would necessarily think of because the litter box is kind of standard.
Speaking of the litter box, I know we mentioned it last season, but I think this is the time to explain that whole setup inside the tent.
Okay, yes. So we definitely have an extra litter box that we bring with us camping and it stays in the tent. We have a larger tent than necessary for two people, and not just because of the space for ourselves, but this is a factor in that.
Bear.
In the tent, we actually put down a tarp or mats from the dollar store across the entire tent floor to protect it from cat claws in general. Specifically, in the litter box area at the back of the tent, we put down an extra tarp and then some puppy pee pads on top to keep the bathroom area as clean and tidy as possible. The litter box gets cleaned daily, or even few times daily, and then we change out the pee pads and the litter completely on a regular basis. I also always have a dustpan and a hand broom in our tent in general for sand and things to keep it clean, but now it's also for those little extra pieces of litter that stay on those little kitten toe beans.
Yeah, cleaning that thing out regularly would be an absolute necessity.
Oh, yeah, for everybody's sake in the tent. Ugh.
On that note, let's take a quick break.
So, we've talked about before you go and getting your pets to the campground.
We've talked about where they'll sleep.
And keeping them contained at the campsite and safe.
And all about food.
So finally, we're going to touch on some of the other stuff to think about. For example, outerwear for your pet.
Depending on the time of year, you may need to bring their warmer stuff or extra blankets so that your pet is staying warm and cozy in the cold temperatures.
Even in the dead of summer, it's better to bring along their warm stuff in case it's a rainy cold night and the air is suddenly much damper and cooler than you had anticipated. We always have a fleece for Bear with us, and for Thanksgiving camping, he basically wears that thing for a big portion of the time.
I bring a sweater for Macy and a rain jacket. And speaking of rain, I bring extra towels. They're always a good idea, not just because they can double as more blankets or a soft spot for your pet to lie down, but they also help when your pet inevitably gets wet or dirty and you want to wipe off those little paws before they get into the tent and all over your sleeping bag and pillow.
Sounds like someone speaking from experience here.
Yes, quite possibly. Lots of experience. Another example of something you need to think about is a first aid kit for your pet. This is something you'll probably remember for yourself, but do have one with you with some key items for your pet.
The likelihood is you're going to be a bit of a distance from an animal hospital or from a vet. So having a basic pet first aid kit and some first aid knowledge is certainly a good idea.
As you make sure you know where the closest people hospital and walk-in clinics are, do the same with animal hospitals and emergency vets.
Bugs can be a real annoyance for people and pets. So make sure that you have some pet-safe bug repellent options. You can find different options at your pet store or at the vet. Keep an eye out for ticks and any other insects bugging your pet or any bites that need to be addressed.
This is exactly why I bring a cotton onesie for Macy. Bug protection. Make sure your pet is also up to date on vaccines and tick meds, too.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked a bit about having shade in the tent to keep it cool and having warm stuff to keep your pet from getting cold. One thing I hadn't considered for Macy on her very first trip was shade in the canoe. Being she could nestle between the pack and the side of the canoe, she had some shade and, again, was covered by that life jacket.
But our backcountry besties had a sportbrella, an umbrella you can clip onto things and move around at different angles. So they attached it to the gunnels of their canoe, and it gave their 75-pound black furred dog plenty of shade while they were on the water. I think we all got one for ourselves as humans once we saw how content Maggie was.
Yeah, we did, because the fact is, too, you can't always just hop in the water for a swim.
Mm-hmm. Even though camping with your furry or feathered friends is fun, they can also be a limiting factor. Pet-free areas do exist. They can include certain campgrounds within parks, parks altogether, indoor facilities, most beaches, some of the trails, and outdoor attractions.
And unless you've got an RV or trailer, you can't just wander away from your campsite to watch the sunset and leave your pet sitting there alone for 20 minutes, at least not with a pet like Macy.
The beach might be one of the reasons you chose the park you did. But if the beach is pet-free and the pet exercise area isn't as nice, well, you might not feel like you were able to experience the park the way you had hoped.
We do want to note that these rules, of course, do not include personal support animals or service animals. But similar packing and traveling considerations do apply.
When it comes to your pet, I think we've mentioned it a couple of times, but being respectful of the environment, the park, the other campers, and the animals, both pets and natural to the environment, is one of the most critical things to remember when you go camping with your pet.
Camping isn't a necessary experience for your pet, nor is it necessary for you to camp with them. It's a nice and potentially fun thing to do, but remember that you are bringing your pet into the campground environment. That means following all the rules of the park and having the same respect for your fellow campers as you expect from them.
If your dog can't help but bark at every single sound or movement that happens, is it really ideal for anyone, including your dog, to be in the campground for a week?
Probably not. You also do want to be an advocate for your pet.
Yes. If your cat or your dog doesn't like pets or it has behavioral patterns that mean you need to use your voice to stand up for your pet, do it.
Be polite. Kind and respectful to others, but also say no and make sure you're keeping your pet safe and in a position to not make decisions out of fear or defense.
Exactly.
Let's face it, for all the people who love to have their pets around, there are just as many people that don't. They might be allergic, afraid, or just plain don't want to be bothered by dogs barking or pets in general around the campground.
And no matter how much a dog owner thinks their happy dog isn't annoying or isn't loud, it's both. There's a reason there's a fine for not trying to control your pet in Ontario parks.
I had always dreamed of a fabulous camping pup, just like my family's dog, Sophie. She's calm, chill, quiet, predictable. 40 pounds. I wish for a carbon copy of this dog. I said I'd get a good one. A quiet one.
And I said, just because you were saying it so confidently that your new puppy was going to be this another anomaly of a perfect dog just like Sophie, This time fate was going to get you, and you were going to get a very yappy dog. So, how exactly did that work out?
Well, I guess I was due. After years of coaxing my dad, I got Macy, and as karma would have it, she's the exact opposite of Sophie, not to mention she's half the size.
Oh yeah, she basically looks like a baby golden doodle puppy compared to Sophie, and she's 2.5 years old.
Yeah, and I'm the first to admit, she can be a real pain in the campsite. At the top of the episode, I said she's all about guarding her little slice of the campground, or tent, or trail, or dog beach. She's got a little dog syndrome to the max. She's got leash aggression. If she hasn't stolen your chair for a nap, she's probably got a case of the zoomies.
Should have called her Sassy Stacy instead of the marvelous Miss Macy.
I can think of so many things besides Sassy I could call her.
Well, you know what they say about dogs being like their owners.
Yeah, I know she's my dog. A real handful, a bit dramatic, very loud. Any good qualities we could share? Ow!
I'm just kidding. Of course. She's also the most fun to be around, she is super sweet, and she is a lover of the great outdoors.
So yeah, thanks for that. But also thank you. I do have to be extra attentive with Macy around. I do have to apologize to every passerby as I attempt to quiet her down and distract her. Even from a deep sleep inside the tent, strange footsteps near our site can rouse her into a full-on attack mode. I've got my fingers crossed she'll improve this year. Third year's a charm, right?
Oh yeah, everybody, fingers crossed. But Macy's not alone in this, either. Lots of dogs can be on high alert when they're camping. They are outside. There are tons of smells, lots of critters. Uh-huh. Unfamiliar noises, peoples, scents, and places. Cats can be the same way. Indoor animals, whether they like the outdoors at home or not, can find being in the internal outdoors a bit overwhelming.
They may or may not be comfortable in a tent. You may have to have an escape plan ready if you need to decide to cut your trip short for the sake and sanity of you and your pet.
Remember that camping with your pet can be fantastic, but it's not for all of them. It may be something that they just don't like and it's too stressful. Or it may take a couple of outings for them to catch up to your love of it. Be patient and give them time.
The only stress I've got to worry about with Macy now is her thinking she's coming on a camping trip when she's not. Just the sight of a sleeping bag can get her real fired up.
Oh, same with Bear. When the camping bins come out of storage and into the hallway, he is all over them. If I leave and don't bring him, like when we do a campfire committee trip, well, then there's some texts from Ryan telling me about how he has been screaming and meowing since I left and forgot him.
Yeah, Macy has a specific angry bark that I get when I return from a trip where I've left her behind. These two think they are the mascots of the campfire committee and that we have no business leaving them behind.
Nope, but that's not true of all pets.
You know your animal best, so plan accordingly. Given that we've mentioned a few things to pack throughout the episode, it's as important for your pet as it is for yourself. Even more so, make a list for the items you need to bring for your pet and bring them.
Before we end off, here's a quick recap of what we've covered. We've talked about how you're going to travel to the campground, where your pet's going to sleep, keeping them safe and contained on your campsite, what your pet's going to eat when they're out camping, and just some of the other stuff to keep in mind.
Make sure you plan ahead with your pet like you do on any camp trip. We hope you have fun out there with your furry, feathered, or scaled friends.
Share your pics and videos of camping or hiking with your pets on social with the hashtag #CampingWithPets.
And with that, I think I hear Macy asking me for a walk.
Yeah, she's mugging at my ankles for a little bit now. That's a wrap on another episode. Thanks for listening.
Don't forget to like and subscribe to the Campfire Committee, Outside and Fireside, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Remember to share this episode with others to help us expand the Campfire Committee community and pass on the love of camping and the great outdoors.
For more, check out our website, thecampfirecommittee.com, and find us on social media at The Campfire Committee.
And join our Facebook group, a place where you can share your favorite memories, places, and ideas when it comes to all things camping. Also, let us know what camping or outdoors topics you want to hear more about in future episodes, your camping stories, and any other feedback you've got.
Join us next time, Outside and Fireside.
And until then, this campfire has ended.
Before we go, We'd like to thank Sue Logan, better known around here as Camper Sue, for her endless camping knowledge, support, and experience.
And Stephen Pavan, our all-in-one editing team. We couldn't do this without either of you.
And to all the extended members of the Campfire Committee, thank you.
All sound effects that are not our own are from thedevo.net.
Music from Epidemic Sound. For more details on all episodes, see our show notes.